The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
I'm in Luke chapter 1 real quick today. Luke chapter 1. We're going to get in our Bible today and see a little bit about one of my favorite guys in the Bible. His name is Zacharias. And let's see what happened to Zachariah and make sure that we do the right part of what he ended up doing. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Did you bring your Bible today? Now look at me. We put our Bible verses up on the screen. And we do that because I think it helps people. Sometimes I can refer to it. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't have a Bible. That doesn't mean leave your Bible at home and don't read your Bible. I think there's something powerful about you having your own Bible. Having a, I don't care if it's on an electronic Bible or however you have it, you should have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, get a Bible and study that Bible. If you're a new Christian, this is Lindsay over here. Here's Lindsay. Wave, Lindsay. Lindsay just got saved a few weeks ago when I was out of town. She gave her life to the Lord. And we're going to baptize Lindsay in a couple weeks. And we are. And she really got touched by the hand of God. I think Pastor Duncan was preaching and she got saved. He had a word from the Lord for her, a prophetic utterance, and God really touched her life. And so, you know, we're grateful for folks like Lindsay. And from the time you get saved, you need to have a relationship with the Word and with the Bible, man. We're real Bible people. We love experiences. We believe the Holy Spirit. You have an experience with the Holy Spirit. We have supernatural experiences in our life. But all of that is secondary to the bedrock of my life is my life in the Word of God. Because the Bible says the Word is the rock. It's what we stand on. Experiences can come and go and be different and change. But the Word never changes. And so we say, let's get on the rock, have a relationship with the Word, know the Word, and then you'll have the right kind of experiences that you can line up with the Word. We just want to make sure our experiences line up with what God says. Anyway, Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Watch this now. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. That's a good verse right there. Huh? Many have had a hand in setting forth. Aren't you glad the Word, God didn't have the Word, and then He kept it to Himself. I'm glad that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It says, we beheld His glory. We were able to touch the Word. And experience the Word and deal with the Word. He said, as many have taken in hand to set forth the Word. God didn't keep the things we need to win at life, to overcome sin. He didn't keep them to Himself, Lindsay. He gave them to us. And many had a part in setting forth and declaring those things that are believed among us. I mean, how do we believe what we believe? We don't just believe whatever we want to believe. We believe what's been set forth from those that had a hand in writing it from the hand of the Holy Spirit. Can I hear amen? Amen. Next verse. Even as they were delivered unto us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the Word. I'm glad that the guys that had a hand in giving us what to believe, I'm going to tell you who they were. They were there. They were eyewitnesses. Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. and Peter and James. Paul the Apostle had his own experience with the risen Christ, but that risen Christ appeared to him and spoke to him, and he interacted with him and he dealt with him. Man, I'm telling you, we've got this from eyewitness accounts. These guys touched him. They weren't thousands of years removed from him. They were eyewitnesses. They saw when he walked and when he talked, and they were part of his life. They were there when he raised the dead. They were there when he healed the sick. They were there when he fed the thousands on the hillside. They were part of passing out the bread. These eyewitnesses were the people that are the ones that have set forth the word of God so that we could have faith in our hearts and believe solidly the things that we believe. Can I hear amen? They were eyewitnesses and they were ministers. Praise God of the word. Verse 3. He said, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, O most excellent Theophilus. So in other words, he said, there were many others that had a hand in it setting forth what we have heard and believed because they saw it. But this is written by Luke. Luke was a physician. He was a doctor, Dr. Luke. And Dr. Luke said, I think I felt it right. I've got something to say about what you're going to believe as well. And I felt it right since I was an eyewitness. I felt it right that I felt a release to also write to you. And so that's why he's writing the book of Luke. That's what he's saying here. Verse 4. Now listen to verse 4. Why would he write? So that you might know the certainty of these things, wherein you've been instructed. I'm trying to get people beyond. I'm trying to believe it. I hope it's true. I really wish, it sounds so wonderful. I wish I could get there and really believe the things that you guys preach about. I'm telling you, you can. I'm telling you that Dr. Luke said, the reason I wrote is so that you might know the certainty of those things. I want to tell you, in an uncertain world, I'm going to preach this morning whether you stare at me or not. I'm telling you, in an uncertain world, there is one thing that is certain, and that's that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Christ died for our sin. Now, that happened 2,000 plus years ago, but I'm as certain of that. I'm more certain about that than anything in my life. I know that more than I know anything. And that's what we're going to preach about today. He wrote so that you can know the certainty of those things that you've been instructed. You know when the word gets powerful? It's when you move beyond trying to hope it's true to a place where you're certain that it's absolutely, you can count on it. You can take it to the bank. You can count on it. It's for sure. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what he said in the word will never change. It's a certain thing. Say a certain thing. It's certain. It's for sure. It's cast in stone. It's valid. It's real. It's unchangeable. It's certain. And I'm telling you, what we preach according to the word about Christ is a certain thing. I'm telling you that salvation for whosoever will is a certain thing. That's why it's never hard for me to believe. I don't care how mean you were. I don't care how bad you used to be. It's not hard for me to believe that if you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, trust in his blood and in his resurrection, that you shall be saved. I don't care if you were an axe murderer. I don't care if you got off death row. I don't care what you did in your past. If you'll trust Christ, it is certain that thou shalt be saved. It's certain. It's a given. It's absolutely certain. I'm telling you, healing is a certain thing. That Jesus Christ is our... It's never crossed my mind that Christ wasn't a healer. that God's will is for him to heal every person that has faith in his word, man. Because the Bible says Jesus went everywhere healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. Yes. Well, everybody doesn't get healed, Pastor. Well, that doesn't mean it's not certain. Because I know what is certain. If you believe with all your heart on what Jesus said about it, that you'll be healed. Can I hear amen? That's a good verse right there, isn't it? This is the introduction and I'm already doing pretty good. Certain things. Say certain things. Certain. We're certain about these things. We know. That's when you start living in Christ. When you know that you know. I know it's going to be all right. Because these are certain things. I know it's going to be all right because I found it in the Word. I know it's going to be all right. I know. I just been meditating in this. He's taken me to a... I've been thinking about this verse. He's taken me to a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm not talking about where there's some milk and honey. He's taken us to the promised land of salvation where the land flows with milk and honey. I'm telling you, you're going to be baptized in milk and honey if you'll keep hearing the word. So that you might know the certainty of those things wherein you've been instructed. He said, there was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. Now I'm going to show you something here just a minute. You know, you can be righteous before God, but still be uncertain about pieces of what God's word has to say. You can stand right with God because we stand right with God because of the blood of Jesus, because we trust Christ. Right? But you know, that doesn't mean you're certain about every other part of the word. You can be certain about some things and uncertain about other things. You shouldn't be. We ought to be certain about all of it. Huh? So they were both righteous before God. Zacharias, and who was his wife? Elizabeth. They were righteous before God. In the commandments, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord. Look at this. They were blameless. But look at me. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. So they were older. And it came to pass that while he, the priest, Zacharias, while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. In other words, that was his job. That was part of his priestly job, was to burn the incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense. Incense always in the scripture indicates prayer, doesn't it? Your prayer, Revelation talks about your prayers coming up before God as a sweet smelling incense. I used to deal in incense before Christ too. Wasn't that kind. Maybe it was a prophetic thing that I was really supposed to be a pastor or a priest. No, it wasn't. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Wow. He's burning the incense. All of a sudden he looks up. There's an angel standing on the right side of the altar. How many still believe in angels? Or do you give up on? You don't believe in angels anymore? I do. I still believe they're working for us. I believe in their manifestation. I believe in angels. He looked up. There's an angel standing there. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. And fear fell on him. Aren't we something else as believers? An angel standing there. An angel's supposed to bring comfort, bro, not trouble. He gets all uptight. You should be uptight if they're not standing there. if you're not sure they're there. He sees the angel. He gets troubled and fear fell on him. I mean, I kind of get it. But it's part of the problem that we'll see here. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for your, look at this, for your prayer is heard. Your prayer about what? Your prayer about that baby. You know that specific exact prayer you've been praying about? I got a word for you this morning. God heard you when you prayed it. That prayer has been heard. Who am I supposed to marry? That prayer's been heard. Where am I supposed to go to church? That prayer's been heard. God, I need some money. That prayer has been heard. Lord, my wife's body's not well. That prayer has been heard. I want you to know we got to start living like our prayers are heard. God heard you when you prayed that prayer, not just when you prayed at large. I'm telling you, he heard that prayer. Say that prayer. He heard that specific prayer. I believe TJ's got a prayer. I believe God heard you when you prayed it, TJ. Danny's got a different prayer, but God heard Danny's prayer. God heard Mark's prayer. God heard Tim's prayer. God heard my prayer. God heard my specific prayer. I'm telling you, that's not just a word for Zacharias. That's our word today. God heard us, Brother Bob, when we prayed. I need this and that. And God heard you when you prayed. He didn't shout back, oh, I only do, that's a pretty big one, so I don't do things like that. All I got to know is, did God hear me pray? And I'm telling you that God heard me when I prayed. You might be here today and you need the biggest miracle you've ever needed in your life. I want you to know when you prayed it. When you prayed it, God heard your prayer. Thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and you're going to call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness. You know, when you start getting certain about the things you pray about, and when you pray, you don't just hope God hears you, and you don't just hope God moves. You get certain about it. That's what Luke said. That's why I'm writing. I'm joining forces with all the other people that have set forth the word in the past. And I'm writing so that you can get certain about what we're instructing you in. I want a church, praise God, that's a certain church. I want a church that's on the bedrock, that knows that they know they are unshakable. They are unmovable. They're unshakable in the middle of the fire. They're unshakable no matter how long it takes. They are unmovable when all hell assails them. They are unmovable because they're going to get what God promised them. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Woo, man, I thought I just heard a B3 organ playing in the background there in my spirit. Huh? You'll have joy and gladness. When you get certain about the prayer life you have, you'll get joy and gladness, and many people will rejoice at thy birth. I read that the other day, and you know what I thought? I thought, you know what, man? I want God to use me as a believer that's certain about the promises of God. And when those things come to pass, I want other people to experience joy because they see what God's doing in someone else's life. Huh. Verse 15. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, talking about their son that's coming, John. He won't drink wine nor strong drink. In other words, he'll be a type of Nazarite. Right? Old Testament Nazarite. That's what Samson was. That's why his hair was long. He wasn't allowed to touch dead bodies or drink strong drink. He was a separated person. He's prophesying about the son. And he will be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. In other words, you're going to have a supernatural child. Huh. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. I believe in God that all my answered prayers are going to turn people around and turn them back to God. That's why I like to tell my story over and over and over and over and over again, because I like to tell every part of my story, tell you about the day I got saved and tell you about how bad I was so that you can understand, so it'll turn your heart to the Lord and give you hope. That's why I tell you the miracles that's happened in Sarah's and my life through the 44 years that we've been walking with Christ, because I want everybody turning this way. Come on, come on, turn into a believer. I'm going to have me a believer revolution. Ha! And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to get you ready because he's coming. That's what we're doing. I'm telling you, he's coming. I don't know when he's coming. That guy a couple weeks ago said he was coming last weekend. He missed it. We're still here. I don't know. I don't have to know when he's coming, because it's not going to change me anyway, because we live every day like he's coming tomorrow, tonight, this afternoon. I can't go, well, I think he's coming at night. You know, that's what the Bible says. He'll be coming like a thief in the night. So I can misbehave till night, and every night I'm going to get my heart right. No, that's not true. You live every day like he's coming. He could come at any moment. That's why you need to forgive quickly. That's why you need to speak words of love and grace and faith and hope toward everyone. That's why you need to get rid of that awe in your heart and get rid of the unbelief that's in your life immediately, because we our hearts want to be right. That guy last week said he was coming last weekend. He missed it. Now he's changed. I think he changed the year or something. It's what always happens. It's not right. It's bad. It's not good. Don't do it. If you do it, tell him you go to church somewhere else and I'm not your pastor. Huh? He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient of wisdom to the just. He'll make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? In other words, how will I know this is true? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel. Oh man, he sent the big guns down here to give him this. Gabriel's the messenger angel, isn't it? He's the one that always brings the power messages. I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. How'd you like to have that for your job? What do? I just stand in the presence of God. And then when he tells me to go tell somebody something, that's what I do. Let me help you with something. That is your job. That is your and my job, to stand in the presence of God, not to run to church every once in a while and get in the presence of God and hope they have the presence there. Man, our job is to stand in the presence of God. No matter where you are, you know, you can be at your job, you can be around the meanest people at your job, and you can stand there in the presence of Almighty God. To stand in the presence of God. And then God give us something and we go out and tell it. That's the will of God. And sent to speak to thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be dumb. That doesn't mean ignorant. That means you're not going to be able to talk. And not able to speak until the day that those things shall be performed. Why? What? All of a sudden, now the angel was bringing me these glad tidings, and now the angel's telling me, and besides everything else I've brought to you, I want to tell you one more thing. You're not going to be able to talk for 9 months. Is there a reason why? Oh, very big reason why. Watch what he said. Middle of verse 20. Because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Note this. Those words the angel spoke, they were going to be fulfilled. But you're going to pay the price for doubting what God said. God's going to have his way in the world, in the earth, and in our lives. But we will pay a price and never enjoy the full fruit of our blessings at times because we don't believe what God's word had to say. He said, you know, you didn't believe what I said. Huh. And the people, verse 21, the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Well, that's because he had a whole bunch going on in that temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he'd seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministry were accomplished, he departed to his own house. In other words, when he got done burning incense, he went home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. After what? After now he's got the word on it, because the angel that stands in the presence of God brought him the word and spoke the word. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach from among men. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in to her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with you, and you're blessed among women. So this is Elizabeth's cousin Mary. And this is the word about Jesus. Now, we don't have time to read this whole thing. That's Jesus' conception, etc. But he says down in verse 36, let's just jump down there real quick, because I want to stay with Zacharias. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age. You know, this isn't, God's moving among different people, man, all the time. This isn't just God's moving for Sarah, me and Sarah and you. He's moving all over the world. He's moving today, right now, I'm telling you, he's moving in Afghanistan. Amen. He's moving in Honduras. He's moving in China. He's moving, praise God, in all the Muslim nations. God's got a presence there. God's moving there. God's moving. God's moving on those things you prayed about. God's moving on your relatives. Aren't you glad? He's moving. Yes, he is. Behold, thy cousin, verse 36, she conceived in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. That's good, isn't it? They used to call her barren. Now they're calling her pregnant. Hallelujah. For with God, I wish somebody would circle verse 37. I said, for with God. Let's say this verse out loud. For with God, nothing shall be. Say it again. For with God, nothing will be impossible. I'm getting certain about that verse. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing in my life, nothing I need is impossible. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how minute it is, Lindsay. I'm telling you, with God, nothing is impossible. Ha! Huh. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, went to the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, or Mary did, and came to Zacharias' house, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, just like the angel told her would happen, and the babe was filled with the Holy Ghost inside her womb. Tell all the abortionists that I said that. I said, is that a baby? No, that's not just a baby. That's a spirit-filled baby. That baby obviously has the capacity to be filled with the Spirit of God. That baby was filled with the Holy Ghost that day in Elizabeth's womb. I'm believing God that every abortion mill, every abortion clinic, it's going to be closed down by the power of the gospel. All their funds are going to dry up. All everybody, I don't care if it's Planned Parenthood or who anybody else that's supporting it, any Supreme Court justice that votes for it, may God ruin their day. I'm believing God that babies are going to be spared. That man, they've killed prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and just because it's legal, they say it's okay. Shame on us if we believe anything like that. My God, John the Baptist, inside his mama's womb, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Ha! And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of our Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." You know, that baby wasn't just filled with the Spirit. That baby had joy on the inside of him. Little John the Baptist, 6-month-old in a fetus form, but a human being made in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. That baby was filled with the Holy Ghost and had joy on the inside. You know, I believe your baby inside you, if you've conceived, that baby can experience joy and peace and love and hope and faith and grace and the glory of the Almighty. Somebody shout amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pause for a moment. As a church family, we pray that you would completely revolutionize this country when it comes to abortion. We believe you to turn this thing around. I believe you, Lord God, to deal with every voter, every Supreme Court justice, every congressman and woman, the President of the United States, everybody that's behind it. May people that used to be for abortion, let them come get saved and fall on their knees and repent for their unrighteousness and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Stop this murder by the grace of God in the name of Jesus. And we release our faith that it'll be so. Hallelujah. Verse 45. "And blessed is she that believed, for there will be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Amen. And then, you know, it goes on. Let's go down to verse 56. "And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth full time came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth a son." Well, we know that was going to happen because the angel told her it was. "And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy on her, and they rejoiced with her." You know, your victory will bring a joy and a party to other people that hear about it, because they need hope too. Woo! "And it came to pass that on the 8th day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him after Zacharias, after the name of his father." In other words, everybody started naming him and said, "Oh, well, he'll call him Zacharias. I just know that's going to be his name." They called his name Zacharias because his dad's. He's going to be Zach Jr. "And his mother answered and said, 'Not so, but he will be called John.' And they said unto her, 'There is none of thy kindred that is called by that name.' And they made signs to his father how he would have him called." They were asking the father because he couldn't talk. So they're talking in sign language. "And he asked for a writing table and wrote, said, 'His name is John.' They marveled. All of a sudden, his mouth was opened immediately. And his tongue was loosed. And he spoke and he praised God. And fear came on all those that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad through the hill country of Judea. That's what starts happening when God does something big in your life. I'm telling you, it starts getting noised abroad. I believe in God that the God that with whom nothing is impossible is at work in our lives, and that with the miracles that he's going to do from person to person to person to person to person are going to be noised abroad. The word's about to get out about what God's doing down at Imago Dei. Something's going on. The waters are troubled. People that have never walked are walking. People that couldn't hear are hearing. People that were bound by demons are getting set free. People that were bound by depression are finding great joy. People that were sick are being healed. People that were lost are being saved. Hallelujah. 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 And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what kind of child shall this be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias, listen to this now, was filled with the Holy Ghost. I never had noticed this before the other day when I read this. And I thought, isn't that something? Zacharias was a priest. He was a righteous priest. But his six-month-old baby that was not even born yet got the Holy Ghost before he did. I bet John never let him forget that. I got the Holy Ghost in mama's womb. You had to wait till after I was born, then you got the Holy Ghost. It's pretty bad, man. My. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Look at this now. Let's just finish here. Come on, Trenton and guys. Blessed, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. You know, I'm going to tell you today. That's what this is all about, man. A visitation from God. I believe we haven't had the last visitation from God. I got saved in 1973. There was a visitation on the earth. I got saved during what's called the Jesus movement. Out west, out on the coast of California, Pastor Chuck Smith, Calvary Chapel, he got a heart for the hippies. He started going to the beach. This is the beginning of the Jesus movement. This is exactly how it started. You know, somebody said, I'm waiting on God to, you know, really do something. You know, I believe God was waiting on somebody like Chuck Smith that had the courage, instead of cursing those long-haired pot smokers on the beach that were doing nothing and just hanging out on the beach all day. I believe God was waiting for somebody to have the courage to leave the boat and go down to the beach. And he started witnessing to those hippies down there. And they got saved, and they started getting saved. It was the beginning of like the Jesus culture thing, the Jesus movement. And from the West Coast, it started like a fire. It started coming across America and went all over the world. There was a great outpouring of so many radical, revolutionary. Our hearts were right. We were already revolutionaries. Man, I was already in a revolt, and I thought that what was the matter was the government. It was more than the government, it was sin. It was me. But there was a visitation in the 70s, and it went on for years and years. It was awesome. There's been visitations in the charismatic movement. The world started getting filled with the Holy Ghost. There's been visitations of the Word of Faith movement, the Pentecostal movement. There's been visitations of signs and wonders. But I'm telling you that we haven't seen yet what God wants to do in the world. There is going to be first of all, the first visitation that's going to happen. I believe Jesus is coming to your house to visit your house. I pray he does. I want him to visit the Crab household. I want him to visit my babies and my grandbabies. I want him to visit my sons-in-laws and my daughters. I want him to visit my elders at the church. I want him to visit with the pastor and deal with me and bring me to a place of a closer walk with Jesus. But then we're going to have a corporate visitation. Say a corporate visitation. A corporate visitation. And it'll include signs and wonders and miracles, but it'll include the Word. It'll all be built on the Word, man. Amen. And when you've got a new kind of visitation, it's going to bring great joy into the city. I'm prophesying something right now. This is as odd to us now as it was when the angel came to Zacharias and Elizabeth and started telling those old folks they were going to have a child. How can these things be? With God, nothing will be impossible. Our visitation and our time of visitation is at hand, my brothers and sisters. Your greatest time has not been lived yet. You've had some great past. We've had some great history in the movements of God, in a visitation. You've seen some great church services. Our church has been a lot bigger. I've been in bigger revivals. Different things were happening. But I'm telling you, by the hand of the Lord, you've not seen anything yet. You're about to see God move his mighty arm and swing his arm. Because I'm telling you, with God, nothing is impossible. We are about to see the greatest outpouring, the greatest revival since the day of Pentecost. You're about to see something that you hear about in other nations and other continents of the world. I'm tired of having to get on airplanes and say, oh, it's really great. You got to go to Africa. You got to go here or to this city. I say, this is our city. This is our place. Why not us? And why not here and now? Let's all jump up for Jesus. And let's lift our hands toward heaven. Let's begin to praise him. If you believe that nothing is impossible with God, let's begin to praise him out loud. Let's begin to worship the Lord out loud. Come on. Let's begin to give him glory. Somebody ought to give him some praise. Somebody that needs a miracle ought to run up to the front right now. Just run up to the front and say, I'm standing in for a miracle. Somebody that needs an outpouring. Somebody that's starting brand new. Somebody that believes God's starting over again and God's getting ready to do it. Man, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. I feel a stirring today. I feel an outpouring. Come on.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.